are listening to African Perspectives with host Brother Oshie on Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com.
Come from you, get to people, yeah.
What are you
You are listening to African Perspectives, where we view the issues of our day from an African worldview and African-centered perspective. This program is unapologetically African. It is a custom in the African tradition to ask elders for permission to speak, having been granted permission. To our ancestors, whose shoulders we stand on, to our elders, whose shadows we walk in, I greet you, my dear brothers and sisters, in the language of one of the greatest civilizations on this planet. It gave the world the basic disciplines of knowledge of science, math, architecture, music, writing, law, religion, you name it, we did it. The Greeks called it Egypt, but they called themselves Kemet, and Kemet means land of the blacks. I greet you all in the Kemetic language, the word of peace, Hotep. It is truly an honor and a privilege to pour libation because we truly do stand on the shoulders of those who came before us. We're going to use water because water has no enemies. Water is the great cleanser, the great purifier. Everything on the planet that lives, it needs water, from a tiny microscopic organism to a tall redwood tree. We pour water into the earth to invoke the spirits of our ancestors, and we say the word Ashe, which simply means so be it. So we pour this libation to God, for all that God has done and for all that God will do. We say, Ashe. We pour this libation to Mother Africa, birthplace of all humanity, everyone who has lived, everyone who will live in the future. We all have a common ancestral root in Africa. We pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa. I mentioned Kemet in the opening. Kemet was the height, the apex, the zenith of African high culture. But there were others as well, as Timari, Punt, and Nubia. So we pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to the contemporary civilizations of Africa, of Ghana, Mali, Songhai, Benin, Great Zimbabwe. Civilizations that were flourishing and growing while Europe was in a medieval or dark age. The University of Sankore at Timbuktu, an outstanding educational institution. So we pour this libation to the contemporary civilizations of Africa. We say, Ashe. We pour this libation to the Ma'afa, the Holocaust of our enslavement, the Infakani, the great tragedy, uprooted out of Africa. Our brothers and sisters lay a carpet along the Atlantic Ocean. We're in North America, South America, Central America, and throughout the diaspora. So we pour this libation to our brothers and sisters who suffered the Ma'afa, the Infakani, the Holocaust of our enslavement, the great tragedy. We pour this libation in their honor and in their memory. We do not know their names, but because of them and their sacrifice, we are here. So we say, Ashe. We pour this libation to those who fought against enslavement. If you ever heard me do a libation, you will know that we were not slaves. I repeat, we were not slaves. We were captives. What does a captive want to do? Get free. So we pour this libation to all those men and women who fought against enslavement. In fact, I maintain that some of us are more of a slave today than we were in our initial captivity, because some of us are a slave to vice, to corruption, to drugs, sex, and violence. So we pour this libation to those who fought against enslavement. Gabriel Prosser, Nat Turner, Dingmark Vesey, Harriet Tubman. We always resisted, and we will always resist. So we pour this libation in the name and in honor of those men and women who fought against our captivity. We pour this libation to those unborn, those young men and women who will once again lead us back on the stage of human history as a free and proud and productive people. We sashe. We pour this libation to brotherhood and sisterhood, together for the union of family. We need each other. we don't have good family life. There's a saying, conditions shape conduct and consciousness. The conditions in our community are bad. The conduct towards each other is not good. Because why? We lack consciousness. And consciousness is more than just awareness. Consciousness is a deeper understanding of who you are historically, who you are culturally. So once we begin to understand the importance of brotherhood and sisterhood together for the union of family. Brothers and sisters, let us all say, Ashe, Ashe.
You are listening to Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com.
Good morning, African world. You are listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network, on timeforanawakening.com, and blacktalkradionetwork.com. And I am your host, Brother Oshi. Hotep family, hope everything is well with you today. Hope you had a good weekend. Hope you had a chance to do all the things you wanted to do, need do, should do, must do, can do, and will do. And I hope the weather was accommodating for you to do it. But if I know it, if it was not, you got it done anyway, because you don't put stuff off. You make sure you get things done. You always persevere. You always handling your business. And we love you and appreciate you for that. This is African Perspectives. We're here every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. Eastern, 10 to 12 Central, 9 to 11 Mountain, or 8 to 10 Pacific, or any other time around the world. But if you cannot listen to this program live, you can always go to our archives at timeforanawakening.com. Look for podcasts, click on that, and then you'll see African Perspectives. And click on that, and then there will be programs that are dated and titled. And so I hope that you will be able to do that, because we appreciate you for that. That's for sure. Other programming that we have here on Time for an Awakening Media. Once again, this program is every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. All times are going to give our Eastern times. On Monday, this evening, from 6 to 8, Acres of Diamonds, Public Affairs Programming out of Philadelphia with Brother Wahad. Right after that is Let's Buy Black, 365 from 8 to 9. And then following, Conversation Reparations with Brother Jamoke and Sister Lacey from 9 to 10. On Tuesdays, Black Reality Think Tank with Dr. William Rogers from 8 to 10. And then on Wednesday, Revive with Sister POC, Proof of Consciousness from 8 to 10. On Thursdays, Relationships with Joy and Troy at 7 p.m. If it's Friday and it's 8 p.m. Eastern, that's right, brothers and sisters, it's Time for an Awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. And then on Sunday, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m., it's not me. It is, once again, Sister POC and her program Revive on Sunday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. Then Sunday evening at 7 p.m., it's Time for an Awakening once again with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard at 7 p.m. on Sunday. Every Monday through Friday at 10 p.m. Eastern, to 12 a.m., it's the Warren Ballantyne Show right here on Time for an Awakening Media. And the number to call is 215-490-9832. 215-490-9832. We Buy Black. WeBuyBlack.com. The largest online marketplace for American African-owned businesses is WeBuyBlack.com. You can get everything you need from WeBuyBlack.com. I sometimes put up their website and all the products that they produced and are available for you. Check out the website. Please do that at WeBuyBlack.com. And I announced last week, unfortunately, that their kiosk at the Greenbrier Mall is no more. That's unfortunate. But and, of course, they're trying to say to us, all of us, to support them in their effort to have a grocery store, a supermarket, here in Atlanta that is owned and operated by us, where the brothers and sisters who do agriculture and sustainability will have their products sold at the supermarket, and other American African businesses from around the city and around the state, around the country, can also have that done as well. You know, it's kind of really sad that a city with this many people
We don't own a supermarket. Man. Well, let me finish. Africa for the Africans, Brother Bamani Tayemba. AfricaForTheAfricans.org. Check out AfricaForTheAfricans.org. Give Brother Bamani a call at 404-931-9429. 404-931-9429. And if you want to see pictures of previous tours, go to Facebook.com/Bomani. If you want to see videos of previous tours, go to YouTube.com/Bomani2007. Get ready for the trip this year, April 3rd through the 13th, for $3,300, going to Senegal and Gambia. Then he's going to Ghana again, repatriation and investment tour, May 25th to June 5th, $3,700. South Africa, roots and culture tour, November 20th through November 30th of this year, also $3,700. And then finishing the year at the Ghana and Repatriation Investment Tour, December 24th through January 5th of 2021. That's also for $3,700. Then it starts back again very quickly in April 2021, April 2nd through the 12th, going back to Senegal and Gambia. This time it's $3,500 instead of $3,300, a few hundred dollars more. These are all-inclusive packages that include full accommodations and round-trip flights. Just drop $400 down on the deposit and consistently pay on it through the time that you, whichever trip you're going to go to. And there you go, brothers and sisters, opportunity to go to the motherland and see for yourself what it's all about. Brother Rinoco, his trip is coming up. Brother Rinoco has a trip. It is in October, October 5th through the 16th. Uganda and Rwanda tour, and that's for $4,200. He's also going to Kemet October 22nd, just a few days after, to November 4th, going to Kemet, and October 22nd to November 4th, and I think that trip is, just I want to be kind of correct here, that trip is $4,200. To go to Kemet with Rinoco. You should go to the website, Rinoco, Dr. D-R, Rinoco, R-U-N-O-K-O, drrinoco.com. And look at this beautiful, well, you know, he documents everything. And in fact, he said, I just saw on Facebook, he said, it's a beautiful day in L.A. He doesn't have to do this, that, or the other. So what he's going to do is do some studying and cataloging his pictures and archiving and so forth. So. Right on, Brother Rinoco. Appreciate you, brother. Habeshaw. Habeshaw stands for Helping Africa by Establishing Schools at Home and Abroad. Habeshaw. And they're doing the work, brothers and sisters. This is a great program, Habeshaw Incorporated. In fact, that's how you should go online to HabeshawIncorporated.org. H-A-B-E-S-H-A. Incorporated.org and see for yourself. I mean, they're doing the work in Ghana. The mission, Habeshaw is a Pan-African organization that cultivates leadership in youth and families through practical experiences in cultural education, sustainable agriculture, entrepreneurship, holistic health, and technology. Habeshaw. They also have the Kashi Project in Ghana. They're building. Ah, man, I'm telling you, it's beautiful. It's beautiful. Many of the good programs that they have, the Habeshaw Works, Black to Our Roots, Sustainable Seeds, and the folks like myself, the Golden Growers. Brothers and sisters, go online and support what they're doing. Donate to Kashi now. Help them fulfill the dream. Shrine of the Black Madonna. Shrine of the Black Madonna, located here in the West End here in Atlanta. I'm Ralph David Abernathy. The phone number to call is 404-549-8676. 404-549-8676 right here in Atlanta. Shrine of the Black Madonna, they have it all. They got furniture. They got clothing. They got artwork. They got, yes, right. They got, and most importantly, they got books. And if they don't have the book that you're seeking, believing they'll get it for you. They also have the red, black, and green shoes and the gas shoes. They have that as well. But also, too, they have an Holocaust museum, an African Holocaust museum. And every Saturday, the African history class, Know Thyself, by Baba Olatunji, and it's from 1:30 to 3:30 every Saturday, open free. I said free and open to the public. Know Thyself. But if you don't have time because you're whatever, for whatever reason, but you want that information, just right, you can get it. They have the History Club Multimedia Library, which is now 7 terabytes of African enlightenment. So check that out. The Shrine of the Black Madonna. Another bookstore we promote is the Medu Bookstore in the Greenbrier Mall. The Medu Bookstore in the Greenbrier Mall, open Monday through Friday. Excuse me, open Monday through Saturday from 10 to 9 p.m. and Sunday from 12 to 6. And they have books and postcards, T-shirts, all kinds of good stuff. And so the number to call is 404-346-3263. 404-346-3263. System Mama Nia, and I'm going to be talking with her because I'm going to do my African history presentation at the Shrine of the Black, excuse me, at the Medu Bookstore. I'm looking at one thing, saying another. At the Medu Bookstore real soon, and you'll know about it. The other bookstore we promote is Black Dot Cultural Center and Bookstore, my good brother and friend, Kazimde Ajamu, in Lithonia. The number to call, 404-519-8107. 404-519-8107. Check out the Black Dot Cultural Center and Bookstore in Lithonia, because there is light in the Black Dot. Us Lifting Us, the Economic Development Cooperative for our people in the spirit of Ujamaa Cooperative Economics. As we like to say, family-centered economics. Their Thursday night broadcast is every Thursday night at 9 p.m. on Blog Talk Radio. The number to call to listen is 929-477-2789. 929-477-2789. The Shrine of the Black Madonna. I keep looking at one thing. My bad, y'all. Us Lifting Us, the Economic Development Cooperative for our people in the spirit of Ujamaa Cooperative Economics. As we like to say, family-centered economics. And, of course, this Friday, Saturday, and Sunday is our conference here in Atlanta this weekend. The Interdenominational Theological Center, located on the campus of Morris Brown University, 700 MLK Drive, will be hosting us, and we look forward to it. We look forward to you being there. We look forward to you being there. That is this weekend, the annual Us Lifting Us Conference and Members Meeting. Ackerman Institute, Baba Baruti and Sister Yabaruti have been doing an outstanding job of educating our young warriors. And, of course, they seek no money outside of our community. So that's why they rely on us. And we should support them. So send a check or money order made out to Ackerman Institute, A-K-O-B-E-N, P.O. Box 10786, Atlanta, Georgia, 30310. That's Ackerman Institute, P.O. Box 10786, Atlanta, Georgia, 30310. But if you want to use Cash App and PayPal, put the dollar sign in, Yah, Y-A-A, then the letter M, and then Baruti, B-A-R-U-T-I, Ackerman Institute. Please support our good brother. Sanjay Dash Haiti, my sister Gabrielle Aurelia, when she came here and we talked, and she was a beautiful sister from Haiti, and very impressive, and the work that she is doing in the rural area in the northeastern portion of the island of Haiti just deserves to be supported. Go online, check it out for yourself at Sanjay, S-O-N-J-E dash Haiti, A-Y-I-T-I.org, Sanjay dash Haiti. The Enye Sesem of Daily Revolutionary Thought. Enye Sesem, I tell you. So I'll tell you about what I was doing in the last few days, this past weekend. And I think the last time I was here was the 5th. So we're gonna go all the way back to March 5th when I was not here to the present of the Enye Sasim. Sometimes I look them over and I skip, but each one of these, as most of them are, almost all of them are, they're gems. And Baba Rudy's response is outstanding. His narratives are great. And the quotes are what they are. They're beautiful. March 5th. No people goes down until their women are weak and dishonored. No people goes down until their women are weak and dishonored. This is a Sioux proverb. Given a normal, healthy cultural framework, African women are nurtured. It is a most admirable spiritual quality. And because of this, females are our primary nurturers. This is not a point of debate or contention between men and women in a societal environment naturally modeled after the rhythm of the universe. Why would we select Yorugu's sexist, misogynistic misinterpretation of women over the traditions of our ancestors? Our ancestors knew women as the creator, spirit, mother, earth, as our natural, ultimate nurturers, as first teachers. And we knew this for more after reasons than just that they gave birth and nursed our babies. Vicious gender distinctions have no place in a reality based on balance or in the divisions of labor based on spiritual qualities. What men are better at than not elevate them above women, socially, politically, intimately, or otherwise. They did not elevate them. What women were better at did not make them into a Western definition of domineering matriarchy, determined to abusively rule over men and make them feel like their roles and responsibility were less than those of women. What men and women excelled at found balance through cooperation, not competitiveness. There was a complementarity based order in male and female relations. Gender was not a source of antagonism between African men and women. This is a European inheritance. Affirm, I love and respect my complementarity gender. Affirm, I love and respect my complementarity gender. March 6th. One of the key reasons for the loss of moral is failed to understand the long-range nature of revolutionary struggle. James Forman. Revolutionaries will hear three things which can seriously erode their morale. One is that you can never remove your enemy. Another is the assumption that a revolution cannot occur without a general consensus at the grassroots level. And third, the misconception, which is directly tied to the second, is that revolutions must include everyone in order to be successful. This is the most damaging assumption of the three because it implies that the revolution cannot possibly become successful without those of us who have a vested interest in being European. Affirm, I do not complain, I just do. Affirm, I do not complain, I just do. March 7th. These are the days of strong men to courageously expose wrong. Adam Clayton Powell, Jr. Extreme individualism removes the possibilities of a moral base, especially in Western culture, because anything that produces a profit or a physical pleasure becomes morally correct, regardless of the truth of an individual statement. Convincing others its truth is what is most important. Skill at manipulating others' minds is the ultimate priority. Truth itself is irrelevant. It is set by a winner. So rules are meant to be broken. And because winning is everything and deception, the easiest and surest way to winning in Western society, there can be no moral rules except those arbitrarily given by the winner. It is in the master of the lie who wins. For a lie is only a lie when one is caught. The indigenous people call this way of the forked tongue. It spoke to the lying nature of the Yorubu, the European, the Caucasian, the Raga. Like us, they learned that Europeans first look to understand the humanity in others. Then they exploit that humanity by pretending commonality of human belief and interests. Most human people cannot believe that any human being, and certainly not a human population, can naturally be that evil. But they is. Boy, are they. This pretense is accompanied by a systematic and inhumane exploitation of these victims' prey before they are able to realize the deceit. Once they are in power or the dominant position, this farce of common humanity is put aside, unless they are dealing with a large population wherein it would take generations to convince them to believe in the lie of our common humanity. Affirm, I am honest with those who are righteous. Affirm, I am honest with those who are righteous. March 8th. No wise man can insult me, and no fool can. Repeat, no wise man will insult me, and no fool can. Marva Collins, the great educator, Marva Collins. Individuals become alienated from the political process when they come to recognize that their vote is meaningless. It becomes hard for them to miss the string of candidates who appear before the electorate when it is time to secure votes, only to distance themselves and their interests soon thereafter. Even most of those with good intentions go through this process of show and sell out. Show and sell out. Compromising is part and parcel of the process in a criminally unethical political order. And you cannot tell me this is not a criminally unethical political order. African politicians are even more susceptible in a game full of rules and deception that automatically works to their disadvantage if they refuse to go along to get along. For most African citizens, the only good feeling comes when your candidates are elected, even though they are aware that your interests will eventually be betrayed by these politicians because their loyalty is to the powers that be and not to their constituency. Just to see African faces holding office, regardless of what they do or don't do, is enough for most of our desanitized egos. Barack Obama. The fact that the rate at which African politicians are being elected is rising at the same rate that African males are being incarcerated is enough to make one consider the degree to which our participation in this political process is beneficial to us as a people. Ashe. Affirm, I practice African politics. Affirm, I practice African politics. I don't deal with European politics. Today, March 9th. To be truly liberated, African people must come to know the nature of European thought and behavior in order to understand the effect that Europe has had on our ability to think victoriously. That's right, Dr. Marimba Ani. Marimba Ani. Because I read that from time to time, at least once a week. So we'll know how we should think, how important it is that we understand Bibi Vodiac, our victorious destiny. When I taught at Morehouse, a Negro colleague once declared that I was a psychopathic revolutionary. I said then, as I say now, that I take great pride in such an honor. Today, those bestowing this honor have grown to include homosexualized Africans and their inherent defenders, so-called African feminists, Marxists and Greeks, pacifists, compromised and frustrated spiritualists, and of course, European intellectuals. Usually the best indicator of whether we are on the right path is the disapproval of those who are and uphold what we fight against. Since to be classified as sane in the West testifies to your insanity, then to be called the worst of the insane by Europeanized Africans and the like is the ultimate compliment. Ashe. It's just like if they if They say it's this, I say it's that. I say it's that. Affirm, I have separated my thoughts from European thoughts. Affirm, I have separated my thoughts from European thoughts. The Enye Sesim of Daily Revolutionary Thought. Once again, brothers and sisters, I thank you for listening, for being here with me, and hopefully you will continue to do so. I appreciate that very much. And didn't broadcast this past Friday. I was in Tulsa, Oklahoma, and had a really beautiful weekend in Tulsa, Oklahoma. I want to thank State Senator Kevin Matthews, who helped put the whole program together, and a sister who is one of our IABPF board members from Memphis, who helped organize it, Sister Sandra Richards. It was well organized, and we had got a lot of things done in terms of understanding what our purpose was. I was misinformed, I guess, because I thought we were trying to talk about the curriculum and just that. No, we didn't. No, we talked about how important it would be for organizations like the Black firefighters, the Black teachers, Black doctors, Black nurses, the Black whatever, American African organizations coming to Tulsa, Oklahoma next year to commemorate the Tulsa Massacre, to find out for yourself what happened and look at what was and now what is and the prospects of what will be. We were picked up by two beautiful young brother and sister. Sister Lindsay and brother Tyrants. It's like instead of saying Torrance, it's Tyrants. Good brother, but all of them, the people we met, the things that we did was just mind-blowing and phenomenal, considering what these brothers and sisters have gone through. And also, I want to thank the delegation, brother Addington Stewart out of St. Louis, who's our president of the IABPFF, the other former president, Brother Youssef Muhammad, formerly out of New York. He's now out of Virginia Beach, Virginia. Myself, another former president of the IABPFF. And then of Brother Dave Harris of the Black Chief Officers Resource Committee, the BCOC. And Brother David Washington, who is the president and CEO of the Dr. Carl Holmes Executive Development Institute, which I'm also a member of, and I go to New Orleans once a year and participate with the training program that we've had, and that has made a tremendous impact on brothers and sisters, helping them get promotions throughout the country. In fact, one of the persons who went through the program and became the chief here of East Point, Georgia, she was promoted chief by the mayor, Miss Bessie Jo Hilliard, who is the wife of our ancestor, Dr. Asa Hilliard. She promoted Bessie Jo, and she promoted Sister Rosemary Cloud. And Rosemary Cloud became the first American African woman, period, to be a chief of a metropolitan fire department. And right before I went to Africa last year, had to get my yellow fever shot. That was that day. And they had finished building a fire station in East Point, and it was in her honor. It was named in her honor. It was a big program. And so I went and got my shot and then scurried on to the dedication. And it was also her birthday. It was beautiful. And so Sister Rosemary was with us as well as part of that contingency of us who were invited to Tulsa with the purpose of learning more and talking with others and seeing for ourselves and encouraging our members of the IABPFF, EDI, and BCOC to come to Tulsa. We're going to the date that, of course, that the Tulsa massacre happened is May 31st, June 1st, that 48 hours of hell. That 48 hours of hell. And so those are the two commemoration dates. And it does conflict with us, with our EDI program in New Orleans. So what has been proposed is that the 100 days prior to the commemoration dates, they'll be asking other groups to come in and for a few days, a weekend, whatever, to look at Tulsa, understand what happened, and then support the brothers and sisters in the city of Tulsa. I know when I came back, my good friend, we were talking, he said, well, you know, if it ain't about reparations, I said, well, you know, they talked about that for many times in a long time. But even right after it happened, this is the beauty and the resiliency of our brothers and sisters. They rebuilt. They rebuilt. And there's pictures. It wasn't on the scale, I would say. But, you know, maybe I'll have the brother who's one of our guides on the program with me, and he can talk about that, to the dimensions that it was, you know. Because, believe me, they had so much. We had so much in Tulsa, truly self-contained. And the Europeans were selfish and envious and jealous and greedy and hateful and mean-spirited. And I could go on, because they used the pretense of this brother named Dick Rowland. Dick Rowland supposedly had tripped and touched this young girl. In an elevator, it was viewed, and the Caucasian who viewed it or whoever did, they thought it was, he was assaulting her or whatever, and he was arrested, and the newspaper, the Tulsa newspaper, pretty much fanned the flames, and all they needed was that spark. You know, just like in other incidents of our people, they just need a spark. If you are going along to get along, if you are docile, if you are just meek and mild, you're all right. You ain't making no waves. You ain't asking for nothing. You're just happy with your condition, as miserable as it is. You're all right. But if you are reason, it's just like I was saying many times, you know, coming up in the 50s and 60s, you know, you didn't learn about people in particularly in public schools. I'm not sure about private schools or whatever, because I know we still didn't have schools personally, but we didn't learn about our history. We didn't learn about our people. You might have learned about Booker T. Washington, George Washington Carver, great men, truly great men. But you sure didn't learn about nobody resisting, nobody fighting back. You sure in the hell didn't learn about Nat Turner, okay? Killing white folks? Oh, no. You didn't learn about anybody else. You didn't learn about Frederick Douglass because of what he did. You know, Harriet Tubman. You didn't learn about these figures, people who would resist European, Caucasian extremism, racism, and privilege that they've had. You didn't learn about that until later, you know. And so here, this group of brothers and sisters coming out of the East, moving, being forced to move to the West. And when they got this land, found out there was oil on the land. That's how brothers and sisters became rich. But more importantly, Tulsa and Black Wall Street, because there was commerce. People were moving there for business, money circulating in our community 10, 12 times before it left out of our community. Buildings that we own, buildings that we built. Two movie theaters, hospitals. When I say that everything that you need to have a community that is self-sustaining and growing, They had that and much, much more in Tulsa. I say you got to have at least a bank. They had many. I say you got to have a hospital. They had many. You got to have a school to educate. They had many. And you got to have a supermarket to where those foods and vegetables and so forth can be disseminated or bought from the citizens. They had many. And yet, on that day, I think it was like May 30th or so, when they had the young man arrested, Dick Rowland. I can't remember the Caucasian lady, Sarah, something like that, whatever. And the brother had an interesting take on that. Yeah, his brother was cold. Like I said, I'm hoping to get him, Chief Ogumawale on from Tulsa, who gives tours. And what he does is he has an old picture of what it looked like. And then, you know, you look at the picture and then you look at the actual scene now of the day, and you can see where it was and what was and now what is, you know. So he was held in the jail, and we went by there too, that particular, where it was. He was held in the jail where it was. And our brothers had came back from World War I, so they had their guns and rifles, and they surrounded the jail so the vigilantes wouldn't come and try to take the brother out and hang him, cut him up, and you know what they can do. In fact, like I said, the newspapers fanned the flame. Nabbed Negro, you know, Costas a white woman, you know, lynching tonight. Yeah, you know. Because you know, this was a form of entertainment for Europeans, just like it was a form of entertainment for Europeans of ancient times in Rome and so forth. Being thrown to the lions, the form of entertainment to see death, agonizing death. And so, you know, they take pictures, postcards, put them on a postcard. They would cut the bodies up, souvenirs. They would riddle them with bullets at times and, you know, burn them beyond any type of recognition. I mean, you know, the European, for what he has done and what he continues to do, but yet still we continue to hold out hope and belief that somehow our presence, our moralizing presence, will make them understand that our humanity should be respected, but it will never happen. That's our problem. We believe that. We believe that some way and somehow they'll have an epiphany and they'll realize their evil ways, but it's not going to happen. Not going to happen. So really, our two people who got us around as soon as we got there, and the first thing we did, of course, we had dinner that night and had an introduction. And then the next day, we had breakfast and further introductions and so forth and what we're going to do. And then we went to the Greenwood Cultural Center. Where the, you know, right there on Greenwood Avenue and the Greenwood District, you know, and that's where we met the brother who gave us a tour and talked about many of the monuments and markers. There are markers where businesses used to be. There are markers along the Greenwood area in that part of that town where businesses used to be. The dividing line of North and South, just like the dividing line in the city of Milwaukee, like the dividing line here is the interstate. 75-85 divides, you know, divides North and South as I-20. 75-85 divides East and West. In Milwaukee, it's a viaduct, you know, that divides North and South. And we were North and You know, in Chicago, I think Halsted divides East and West. I can't remember what divides North and South, but it's the same situation, except in Chicago, the South side is us and the North side is Latinos and Caucasians, and some of us as well. But I'm quite sure at one time, ethnically, it was just them, and on the south side, just us. And so these railroad tracks divided. The Fresno tracks divided Tulsa. And, you know, they had their own community, and they were thriving. They were thriving, you know. And so we had a good lunch at the Cultural Center. Sister, who was a caterer, outstanding job. That was, I mean, everything was right there. The hospitality was tremendous. But more importantly, the information, individually, and to visibly see what happened. And so my good brother, Sister Kevin Matthews, is also celebrating his birthday. So we got there for that, and that was interesting and cool. I loved it. And the next day, that Saturday, we had breakfast, and then we went to the, which is also in the Greenwood area, Woody Guthrie Center. You know, Woody Guthrie. And the presentation was done by Steve Johnson. Steve Johnson is a DJ, a producer, educator, and community organizer. He's from Longview, Texas, but he's been in Tulsa. Just like the other members who came to Tulsa, it was something that said, go to Tulsa. And they did. Or come back to Tulsa. And they did. Dr. Johnson received his PhD in Higher Education Administration from the University of Oklahoma last year in May. His dissertation, entitled Curriculum of the Mind, a Black Critic, Narrative Inquiry Hip-Hop Album on Anti-Blackness and Freedom for Black Male Colleagues at Historically, Black Male Collegians at Historically White Institutions. Because of that, he received the Dr. Bobby Wright Dissertation Award. And of course, you know, if you know me, you know that caught my eye. I mentioned it at his presentation because, you know, I love Dr. Bobby Wright. Clinical psychologist of the then Garfield Park Mental Health Institute, later that on the south side of Chicago, later was named in his honor. And his presentation was outstanding. A lot of love for this young man and his family. Dr. View. Dr. View, you get a chance if you have a chance to go to Tulsa next year. And I suggest that you try to do that. That, you know, I think that is really important that of all of the insurrections, of all the massacres that have happened to our people, Tulsa probably is probably most egregious because many times we were poor and we were trying to organize. We were trying to vote. We were trying to, like in Elaine, Arkansas, come together, like trying to form a union so we could be treated fairly. Not manipulated and constantly working for nothing, you know. So, man. And so, at the after the Woody Guthrie Center, we went to the Gathering Place, which is a park that was created through the George Kaiser Foundation. George Kaiser is a billionaire. Excuse me. In out of Tulsa, and he's very philanthropic and helped with what we were doing in Tulsa this past weekend, some of that funding for us to fly into Tulsa to be put up at the Hyatt Regency for those days and this, that, and the other, the transportation, food, everything, you know. And so we went to the Gathering Place, which is a park that's free. All kinds of stuff is at this park. The only thing you really pay for, you don't have to pay for parking at the park. You can even have gatherings. You can't bring in signage. That's one thing that said that you can't do. They will pretty soon have a way that you can secure a place, which will cost. But it's a beautiful park right there on the Arkansas River. Right there by the Arkansas River. And, I mean, man, all kinds, very friendly for children, of course, all kinds of stuff, all kinds of things they can play with and play on. You know, We got court. They have basketball courts and other stuff. You have, you know, BMX bikes and skateboard for those kinds of things. So we checked that out. And then we had a briefing and decided that what our move was going to be to help get our brothers and sisters from the IABPFF, EDI, and the BCOC, which of course there are hundreds and hundreds of members, trying to encourage them to go to Tulsa next year as part of the commemoration of the 100th year of the massacre, the destruction of Black Wall Street. And I truly hope that they do. We're going to take a break. When we come back from the break, we'll have more. And you can join this conversation. The number to call is 215-490-9832, 215-490-9832. And give us your African perspectives, as we like to say. You're listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network on timeforanawakening.com and blacktalkradionetwork.com. You stay with us. We'll be right back.
You are listening to African Perspectives with host Brother Oshi on Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com.
baby. You don't get no better than this.
Yeah. We've had some ups and downs, made a lot of bad mistakes, but we've always had some good times. And through it all, you held me down, baby. You've always held it down. Oh yeah.
There were times when I was afraid and wanted you to leave, but you stayed right here by my side. You never let me go. You always stayed around.
That's right.
You stayed around.
And you've been so good to
and
me.
And it doesn't matter. I know whatever comes our way. You know, you and me, we gon' stay together.
Just wanna give you, make love to you,
love to
take
you.
You with you on a rocket, fly, keep on loving till we touch the sky.
You are listening to Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com.
Welcome back, brothers and sisters. Once again, you're listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network, on timeforanawakening.com, and blacktalkradionetwork.com. Like I said, we're here every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. Other programming that we have here, once again, on Time for an Awakening Media. Immediately following this program, this evening on Mondays from 6 to 8, Acres of Diamonds, public affairs programming. And then following that is Let's Buy Black 365 from 8 to 9. And then Conversation, Reparations with Brother Jamoke and Sister Lacey at 9 to 10. On Tuesdays, Black Reality Think Tank with Dr. William Rogers from 8 to 10. On Wednesdays, Revive with Sister POC from 8 to 10. And then on Thursdays, Relationships with Joy and Troy at 7 p.m. And then on Friday, if it's Friday at 8 p.m. Eastern, it is Time for an Awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. And then on Sunday, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m., it's Revive with Sister POC
from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. And then Sunday evening at 7 p.m., it's Time for an Awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. And then every Monday through Friday at 10 p.m. Eastern to 12 a.m., it's the Warren Ballantyne Show right here on Time for an Awakening Media. And the number to call is 215-490-9832. 215-490-9832. Once again, I'm talking about my reflections on this past weekend when I went to Tulsa, Oklahoma, to talk about how we can get professional organizations, American African professional organizations, to help shed light on what happened and also to bring it to our attention about the massacre in Tulsa. One of the things that I was very impressed with is the Greenwood Leadership Academy, a beautiful school. It's a public school. It's a community school. So there were some little Caucasian kids there. They started out when they first got the building. They started out from kindergarten to first or second grade, and now they're up to fifth grade. I think that's where they're going to stop at. They're not going to be a middle school, just going to have those primary schools. And what's interesting is that they put the names of the streets, they put the incidents and so forth right there in the hallways, the people and everything like that. So not only do these children learn about it, they live it on a daily basis. They go through the streets and what happened. They put even those tracks I mentioned, that was a dividing line, they have those at the school. You know, so they're getting a valued education. In fact, I was under pressure. They were going to talk about the curriculum and what should be taught. But believe me, the brothers and sisters, they have it down in Tulsa. They are teaching what should be taught, because there is no sugarcoating. There is no none of that about what happened. This is it. This is what happened. White folks came in and vamped on our community and killed brothers and sisters and took their possessions, ultimately took their land. And what's interesting is, as I stated, they built it back. They built it back, not to the magnitude that it was, but very similar. And then, of course, it happened again, just like it happened to many communities across the country. Through the Model Cities program, running an expressway through your community. Happened like that in the Haiti community in Raleigh, Durham, Milwaukee, Pittsburgh, many other places, I'm quite sure. So that today, remember I mentioned the four things that you should have? A hospital, a educational institution, a banking institution, and a supermarket. A lot of those communities today don't have them. In fact, at one time, we had multiple number of banks across the country. I think we're down to like under 20 banks. Milwaukee had 3. They have no more. So I'm looking at our situation. It is diminishing consistently. And I don't see it bouncing back. I don't see it bouncing back for us. Because number one, the majority of us have bought into what Europeans have imposed upon us. The belief that we're all inclusive, and we ain't. This is theirs, not ours. But we keep saying ours, our country, our government. Remind me, when I said it, remind me of what Malcolm said. You keep talking about this ain't ours, talking about our astronauts. Our astronauts. You can't. Yeah. So that was impressive. That elementary school was very impressive. Brother Senator, State Senator Kevin Matthews' son works there. He's an art teacher. And Brother Greg Robinson was very impressive. Like I said, we met some young folks under the age of 40, in between that 20 and 30, 40 age group, that were very progressive. And that was very encouraging. And I've been at times very encouraged to see some of our young people, but you know, the bottom line is that I know that some of us want to try our best to gain inroads into their system. I'm more apt to, you know, respect and love those who understand that we have to have our own, and it ain't here. I'm down with independence, self-determination, liberation, and sovereignty for African people. That's what I'm down with. You know, and I know that I believe, unfortunately, that there will never be compensation.
Hello, Chief.
Hey, Jay, how you doing?
Oh, man, sorry to jump in on you, but you got a problem with your tune-in volume. Again, I don't know what it is, but, you know, with tune-in, the volume is pretty messed up.
Well, I'll turn that up some then. Thanks, Jay, I appreciate that.
Yeah, because, you know, Ralph had texted me, but I was in a meeting. I just got out a few minutes ago, and I tuned in to hear you.
Okay.
And the volume is not that good.
Okay.
But other than that, how was your trip, brother?
Oh, man, it was beautiful, man. I tell you, I love the spirit of the people of Tulsa, the brothers and sisters. Met some beautiful people, some good young people. Learned a lot about the Tulsa massacre. Of course, it is heartbreaking. It makes you angry, you know, to see what these Caucasians have done and continue to do, you know. But it was a great trip. In fact, one of the brothers who was one of our tour guides, I'm going to try to get him on the program. Very informative. Had some hypothesis about what possibly could have happened. So, yeah, it was real good, man. It was well worth it, I tell you that. You know.
Well, listen, brother, put me on mute, finish what you was saying, and I'll chime in after you finish your presentation.
All right, Brother Jay.
My brother. Hotel.
Thank you. Hotel. Thank you, Brother Jay. I appreciate that. I keep turning it back to where I have it because it sounds good, but he's saying if you don't hear me out there, you know, that ain't good. So, and I know that when I put the music on, that really kind of blasts it. But we'll see. We'll see. And he said, if that's the case, that's what we got to do. We got to do what we got to do, for sure, because we got to make that happen. So, yeah, the school, the Greenwood Center, all of these things, beautiful people. And so the idea is to get brothers and sisters in various organizations and individuals to help commemorate the 100th year of the massacre, the destruction of Black Wall Street, a thriving African community. You know, that was really a model. And I know others that made a claim about Black Wall Street. In fact, the other one that was destroyed in the Raleigh-Durham Haight community, because they had a number of insurance companies, banks, and so forth in that community. But man, you know, when you see pictures of what it was, and then you see the aftermath, it's heartbreaking, brother. It's heartbreaking. Total devastation. You know, Greenwood, Archer, and Pine, the Gap Band, GAP, Greenwood, Archer, and Pine. You know, in fact, that's where I bought my T-shirt on Greenwood and Archer Street. You know, and even on that street, which is right up from the Greenwood Center, you know, there's still a few businesses that are ours, but mostly are not. And the school, the academy, which they established just a few years ago, and what is being taught and how they're presenting it, very encouraging. So they want to get our brothers and sisters to come to Tulsa, and because Brother Kevin Matthews was a former firefighter and he did attend our training in New Orleans, and know that I and Brother Yusuf Muhammad did a history piece and joined us with Brother Addington Stewart, our present president, along with some others, Sister Rosemary Cloud here in East Point, Georgia, who was the first sister to be appointed chief of a major city fire department, woman, first woman, period. You know, so she's a history-making individual. And Brother Dave Harris, who was with the Black Chiefs Officers Committee. So we're all, so we're going to work together and try to make that happen. And then I'm going to definitely try to make it. I know that's a time, that is a time when we have our, that's a time when we have our training program at Dillard University. And I'm going to see if I can try to find a way to maneuver that to be in Tulsa for the actual two-day commemoration of the massacre of Black Wall Street. You know, when I looked at those children and, you know, the beautiful faces and the little ones, you know, and so forth, and what is being taught and how they're being taught is encouraging. And it's important that your history is taught to you, because history roots you and grounds you in the knowledge of yourself. What happens to a tree if it doesn't have roots? Exactly, it dies, the same as a people. But because for so many years, our history has been fabricated, our history lied on and interpolated and so forth. And so we should be responsible. We must be responsible. You know, I don't like to use the analogy with European Jews, but it's a good point here, because the European Jews don't rely on any school system. They don't rely on anything outside of themselves to teach their history. Now, one could argue that because they're not the original Hebrews and they're talking about that, but I mean, hey. Oh, I just got a text that it sounds good on my end. It must be him on his end. But okay, I'm going to turn it up a little bit because I definitely want to be heard. I know this is the second time, so I don't know. But anyway, we're going to talk about the importance of teaching our children our history, because to teach your children African history is to change the future of Africa. To change the future of Africa. We need to understand African culture, African history, American African history, Caribbean African history, European African history. Wherever we are as Africans, we need to understand how that happened, what is happening, and what are the prospects for the future. Millions of African people have been miseducated to serve the agendas of the European elites. We often hear the saying, history is agreed upon by the winners. Dan Brown, the author of this article, captures the very essence of this idea. History is always written by the winners. When two cultures clash, the loser is obliterated, and the winner writes the history books and books which glorify their own cause and disparage and conquered foe. As Napoleon once said, what is history? A fable agreed upon. Lies. Lies agreed upon. That's what history is. And what did Winston Churchill say? History is going to be great to Britain. Why? Because I'm going to write it. And when you understand Great Britain, and that's why you hear me all the time say, I can't stand them. They have been the most vicious people on this damn planet. But what is their image today? What is written about them? How are they perceived? Every day in this damn country, when you watch the national news or local, you hear something positive. I don't give a damn if it is about Meghan and Markle or whoever the hell leaving the quote royals, but you'll hear something about them every day. The popular phrase is very true, especially when viewed through the experience of Black children, of African children here in America. The Eurocentrism taught in schools advanced a particular view not conducive to proper historical perspectives. The romanticism of European historical exploits unfortunately leads to the denigration of African people and their descendants. our contribution to the world, culture, and civilizations are consistently dismissed. We all know that Eurocentric perspectives negatively impact the self-esteem of African descended children, leave them with little sense of purpose or importance. Moreover, these perspectives get incorporated into popular culture and affect how African descended children view themselves. The negative images that American African children see of themselves in popular culture, combined with how they portray throughout history, is a powerful psychological weapon used to weaken ambition and self-esteem. These negative portrayals advance a subservient culture within the American African community, which greatly aids in limiting how high they set their goals. In his introduction to African studies, Dr. Malana Karinga believed that in order for African children to be well-rounded individuals, they need to understand their history. He states that African studies begins with African history because it is relevant, even indispensable to the introduction and development of all our subjects and areas. That's right. I used to tell the young people, I said, this is probably the most important class. It wasn't really a class, but presentation that you're going to have in this school, because I'm going to tell you and show you about things that you will not learn here. And I'm not giving you myth, fairy tales, allegory, something. No, I'm basing this and presenting this to you based upon our scholarly research by our scholars, our historians. There is no need to preach to the choir, as the homeschool movement seems to be growing at alarming rates. Scholars have discovered that the reason American African families are beginning to homeschool their children is primarily because of the Eurocentric curriculum. Subjects taught in schools such as Latin, Greek, and Western philosophy, even in historically American African schools, allude to the supremacy of European ideas, worldview, and culture. Europe is assumed to be the norm, and this marginalizes the intellectual agency of African civilization, therefore making American African people invisible, even amongst themselves. Because of this truth, American African families have started to look for ways to teach their children African history. We become increasingly aware of how the school system miseducates our children, and parents are looking to take back our agency. One cannot enslave a group of people and still advance proper historical perspectives. Education is largely seen as a foundation of an individual's future. So the establishment of an ethnocentric curriculum is of grave importance to the morale, purpose, and overall self-esteem of African children. All this currently sounds good, but how do American African families actually go about teaching their children African history? Where do we start? African history, contrary to popular belief, is not a dark continent with no history. The history of Africa is just as rich, full, and complex as anybody else's or any other. It takes much study and understanding to truly know how to learn African history. Even the resources we have today can be difficult to understand, but do not fret, because this article is going to lay out for you, blow by blow, how to teach your children, ultimately yourself, African history. First, we're going to discuss the topics of consideration to begin the lesson, and then break down everything you need to know in order to relay it to your offspring, to your children. Here's how to teach your children African history. First, teach them that Africa is a continent with many ethnic groups. Teach them how Africa is the birthplace of humanity. Show them articles and books that tell about Africa being a place where history is thousands of years old, where history is older than anybody else's. Teach them about the development of ancient civilizations of Kush, Timari, and Punt, and Nubia. And of course, Kemet, the height, the apex, the zenith of African high culture. Teach them that everything that we did out of study, communication, cooperation, and organization. We studied everything. We studied the land. We studied the stars. We studied weather. We developed a calendar. Everything was born out of study. Study generated science. Study generated religion. Everything was about study. The fact that we have to have water, most important for human beings is water. So we lived on a river. The problem, of course, with rivers, they inundate, they flood. So we got to know when the water is going to rise and when it's going to recede. When the water rolls, that's when Africans, particularly in Kemet and in the Sudan or in Nubia, began to build using heavy blocks of stone, moving them from quarries south, hundreds of miles, putting them on a barge and sailing them north, or really downriver, because the Nile River, the longest river in the world, flows from south to north and empties into the Mediterranean Sea. Tell them about that. Show them that. Show them that in over periods of time of hundreds of years, we were able to build a great civilization that was the light of the world, that people came from far and wide to study at the feet of our people. I know no one wants to be in our vicinity today, but there was a time, and there can be a time again. Not that I'm saying we should go back and build pyramids. No, we did that and did a damn good job. But the mind of those people, the organization, remember, study, communication, organization, implementation. That's why they were able to build on such a grand scale. That's why they understood that what they wanted to do was live forever. And what they built has stood that test of time. Some of the tombs that they just revealed, I mean, beautiful painting. The Medu Netcher, beautiful colors. And the fact that we can read the Medu Netcher is a clear indication. I just read some BS about the, because I know it's coming up. The Exodus. That debate is over. And somebody just threw an article in as I was going to the BuzzFeed about, you know, is the Exodus. No, no, the Exodus is not real. The Exodus did not happen. There were no bunch of Hebrews supposedly in Kemet being enslaved, building any damn thing. And then later, some plagues hit them and they moved out of Kemet with all kinds of goods and stuff. No, no, it didn't happen. Stop it. But you know what? It will always persist. It's just like when teach those children about Sheikh Anta Jop. Teach them that Jop went to a symposium, a meeting about who were the ancient Egyptians. Dr. Jop and his assistant, Dr. Thelophilia Obinga, who was a linguistic, proved at that symposium, ended the debate, that the ancient Kemetic people were African people. I can prove to you in 10 ways, he stated. Phenotype, eyewitness accounts, all kinds of ways. But it was the melanin dosage test, which was a smoking gun, extracting melanin from the mummies to see how much melanin content they had. The higher the content, obviously the darker the skin. Proving that the ancient Kemetic people were African people. And I ain't talking about early on or has National Geographic's had it, the 25th dynasty, the black pharaohs. No. The whole thing outside of the Hyksos and their brief time in Kemet And every, as Dr. A.C. Hilliard said, every invasion was destructive. So aside from them, and then later, of course, the ending of the dynasties with the Ptolemies, the Greeks. And I know out of the Ptolemies, you get Cleopatra and Cleopatra the Seventh. But of course, what they wanted to be was who? What we were. They wanted to rule like we ruled. They wanted to look like we looked. Teach them that. Let them know. Let them understand that. Yeah. We have a history bar none. It is a glorious history. Teaching them the classical empires of each region. So not just what I'm talking about of ancient Kemet, but others. From classical times and, of course, contemporary times of Mali, Songhai, Benin, Ghana, Great Zimbabwe. They're still finding things and will continue to do so. Teach them about those things. Teach them about Mansa Musa. Teach them about Africans who sailed from the west coast of Africa or sailed from Kemet into the Mediterranean through the Strait of Gibraltar. Into the Atlantic Ocean, being swept up by the currents in the Atlantic Ocean. A Caucasian named Thor Heyerdahl proved that the ancient Kemetic people could sail. He made a boat called the Ra and did what we had did thousands of years ago and sailed it to this hemisphere, proving it could be done. Once again, I'm not giving you fairy tale, myth. This is historical fact. Teach them about the prominent historical figures, including myths and legends. Including myths and legends. Some of the stories that are myth are there to tell a story, an ethical, moral story. Make sure they understand the meanings. Make sure they understand the legends of men and women, particularly those who resisted European advancement, European conquest to challenge them. Many of the sisters of Nzinga, Yasantiwa, Nandi, Shaka Zulu. Teach them. Teach them of the brothers and sisters who fought in this hemisphere. Make sure they understand we were not slaves. Make sure your children understand that whatever they read, when you see that word, put captive, substitute all words that put a negative image into the children's mind. Give them the proper context. Give them the proper verbiage. Make sure they understand. So when they see it, because they're going to always see it in the society. It always bothers me because we always talking about,
words have meaning.
Well, if words have meaning, why don't we use the right words? If words have meaning. So teach them. Teach them about African art. This is real interesting, and this is what Baba Rinoco said. If we were so primitive, we were so backwards, why do all our art and so forth is filled in all these European museums and in Europeans' homes? All our art from the ancient times to the present. I saw a brother yesterday on YouTube. I don't know if you've seen it. When I saw it, I was like, wow, hopefully this goes out and a lot of people get it. I mean, he's drawing upside down, but he's using whatever. He used his foot, the side of his foot, he used his face, and he's drawing. I mean, in that 5 minutes or 4 to 5 minute, piece, I mean, he used his friend's face. He was his own. his shoe, a knife. I'm not sure whether he used something else to detail it, but once he turned that picture, once it was complete, over to show a portrait of somebody or even the person that was modeling, it is phenomenal. It is phenomenal. First, that he does it upside down. I mean, that's the kicker there. But then you see the detail once it's flipped over. And you'll be like, man, the talents of Africans. I tell you, the talents of Africans, brothers and sisters, is beyond me. It's just so miraculous, so beautiful. Show them how to honor their ancestors. Show them how to honor their ancestors. Yes. Make a shrine. Have pictures. Talk about them. The day they were born, the day they transitioned. Honor ancestors great, known and unknown. Honor the ancestors in their family. I know in some families, because of disconnect, because of moving here and there and all kind of inner family relationships and so forth, I would hope that maybe you would, you know, we begin to squash those beefs. Show them how to honor the greatness of African people. Take them to those museums. Explain the stuff that is there that is ours. If you have to challenge somebody who's presenting something, do that. I remember when I was in New Orleans, I was in that market area in the French Quarter. It's a big market area in the French Quarter. What direction is that? I think that's going north. I don't know. But it's a big market area in the French Quarter, and we were walking through there. We had done with our program, and, you know, I think the next day we were, you know, flying out, just a bunch of us walking through there. And so I was walking along, and I was looking at something, and, you know, came by this Caucasian who was selling stuff, and there was an ox there, you know. And somebody inquired about, some of the Caucasian inquired about it, and I'm just standing by, you know. So, yeah, this is a Greek symbol. Then I said, oh, no, excuse me. That is not a Greek symbol. That's an African symbol. That is the African symbol of life. It's one of the oldest symbols in the world. You see that oval there? That represents the womb of the woman. You see that long part there? That represents the phallus of the man. And that cross area is means they come together to produce life. That's the ankh, the oldest symbol, the African symbol of life. And I walked off. You know, I don't, you know, that's the thing. Sometimes when you hear something, you don't put a check on it. You know, at this stage of my life, I tell you, it's not that I'm fearless, because I'm not. But let me say this, you can't put it past me. I won't let it go unchecked. Because we have to stand up. We have to stand up for ourselves. We have to stand up for each other. We have to present our truth. We can't be afraid. Jay, you've been listening. What's happening? 646. Jay, you there? Okay. He knows what to do. If you want to make a comment. You know what to do. Either call back or click over. You could make a comment to join the conversation. But one thing.
Hey, Oshie.
Hey, Jay.
You know, the thing that amazes me is that more of our people don't homeschool their kids. But you know, one of the reasons is.
Well, one of the reasons is because it is time. It's time. You know, you got to work. You know, yeah, this is America.
That's what I was going to say.
Yeah.
It's like a baby. School is like a babysitting service.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You know, I know a lot of parents that send their kids to school because, you know, they don't have nobody to watch them.
Yeah.
So with this whole coronavirus going on, man, this down the line is going to cause some serious problems if people are going to have to start staying home because of this so-called epidemic. Because I know I've just seen today, there's a few places in regards to schools that are closing down for the rest of the year because of this so-called panic. You know, it's interesting to whereas in New York, the governor, they just created a situation to whereas they're making hand sanitizer to pass out because of the price gouging that was going on.
Wow.
That right there should show you something about what government could do when you have these type of crises.
Right.
And it's going to be interesting because I don't know if people noticing the stock market is going down. You know,
oh, of course.
This is going to cause some serious problems. And I really don't know if our people really understand what's about to go down. You know, because we the last one sometimes to get sugar honey iced tea when it happens. So, you know, we better get on our square and pay attention because it's about to get funky if this thing evolves into something bigger than it is. And unfortunately, you got a moron in the cracker's house.
Yeah.
So with him being the moron that he is with the issues that he have, it's no telling what's going to go down. And then check this out. I just saw where the head of the Port Authority, I think, done caught the virus. Whoa. Head of the Port Authority in New York is one of the biggest agencies. It's probably the next biggest agency as far as transportation goes to New York City Transit.
And what happened? What did you say? He has the leader of the Port Authority has the virus?
Yep, he caught it. That's what they say. He caught it. And
it was just like
that's breaking news.
Yeah, it was just like the Iranian guy. He's at the podium sweating and so forth. I don't know if he perished or not, but you know, he caught the virus.
Hey, the bottom line is I'm trying to stay as close to the crib as possible. You know what I mean? Because the reality is this. We live in a society where people are not truly prepared for this type of actions that's going on. And, you know, we live lives that this is acceptable. You know, and that's why I always say, anytime you really want to put forward a plague, it could happen. That's why you need strong leadership to be able to contain it. And you need to be able to have a person with a vision to contain it. And this dirtbag in the cracker house, he ain't got a clue. It's kind of sad that we live in a society to where we could have greatness, Oshi, but the greed and the racism and all of the other isms that are just in place, we suffer from it, and it happens all around the world because of our misguided ability of following the lead of this devil. Imagine what would happen if we could rid ourselves of this devil and then change the mindset of our people to become more of an African mindset, a collective mindset, a communal mindset, the necessary way to behave like Africans. Do you know we could live in a beautiful world? But because of this devil, we ain't never going to live in a beautiful world other than a beautiful world that we make for ourselves.
Well, you know, that's the point. That's the thing. Sell the time. I love Dr. Wade Noble's definition of power, the ability to define reality. We need to define reality and shape it and fashion in our image and in our image, not to impose it on anybody like the European has done. We just need to define it for ourselves and work our reality for us. Make sure that it's so tight that when others come to us, they are coming to us with respect, because they can't manipulate us. They can't undermine us. We know who we are. We know what we have. You want some of it, you'll pay fair price for it. You play whatever
man,
the market.
White man never paid fair price for nothing.
And that's the point. He will now.
He don't pay fair price for.
Right.
He would not stole rape.
Right.
You know, all evilness in the. If you're going to be honest about all evilness in the world, it's probably been introduced to the world by the white man. I can't think of, you know, something that was as evil as the white man's commitment of enslavement, murder, rape. That's the white man's creation.
Yeah.
I've never in my study of history seen where those type of behaviors was introduced by the African.
Right.
That's a Yorugu behavior type syndrome.
Yeah. Well, he, you know,
don't let nobody fool you otherwise, because history proves it. All you have to do is study history, and it shows the white man for what he is. He's just purity evil.
Yeah.
There's nothing in the world like the white man. His nature is pure barbaric.
Yeah, Jay,
he has no real humanity.
Yeah, and you're right. I believe so, too, because of how he developed. His evolutionary development, as Dr. Jopp said, there's a two-cradle theory of human development. There's a northern cradle and a southern cradle. In the southern cradle, how we developed because of the environment was so conducive to growth and so forth. That's why we had a complementarity between men and women. Because number one, if the woman was not being treated with respect, she could just say, bump you. I'm going to go down the road and find a better situation. But in Europe, because it was so harsh and so ungiving, you know, that women acquiesced to men, and men were very hardcore, domineering, and patriarchal, very abusive. In fact, one can make an argument that many, in the mindset of European men, they don't like women. In fact, a dog is a man's best friend.
Listen. I come in the house sometimes early in the morning, or I'll go out early on the morning. What do that devil have? He have his best friend two at a time, walking them, loving them, kissing them. I ain't never in my life saw a black person tongue kiss a dog until I saw the white man do it.
I hope not. But then again, Jay, we are such imitators of them because they have made such a deep impact on us and on our minds and our imagery. You know, whatever they do, unfortunately, we do. Whatever they do, unfortunately, we do. And what we do because of them has dire and deleterious effects on us and our lives and our ability.
We've done some of the things that devil's done. We haven't eliminated a lot of his things. We are more humane than that devil is, and we always have been. That's why he's allowed to walk around the manner in which he has, and he hasn't been dealt with like he should have been a long, long time ago. Once they let us out of our enslavement, we were supposed to go South African burning neckties on them, if the truth be told.
Yeah.
That's why I love the South African burning necktie. It's one of the most beautiful adventures that was ever created in regards to violence, as far as I'm concerned, because it just deals with it on the level that it should be implemented and it should be practiced on a continuous and regular basis when you're dealing with evil.
Yeah. Well, you know, my contention is that sanity must begin to take shape. We live in an insane world. In order for us to be sane, you can't be in it and maintain sanity. You have to get out of it for you to be sane. You have to pose new paradigms, new ideas, new ways of thinking, new ways of doing, you know. And it's not really new. It's really coming back to yourself. It's returning to your source. is giving honor and reverence to our ancestors and looking at the ways of which they have done things, is reconnecting, you know, it is returning to the source. And so once we do that, I know that it cannot be done here. We cannot do things in the midst of an open and sworn enemy of us who has proven beyond a shadow of a doubt consistently year after year, decade after decade, millennial after millennial, that's who they are. And there's nothing that we can do. Once again, they suffer from cognitive dissonance. They believe what they've said about themselves. And there's a damn thing that we could do to prove otherwise. In fact, when you tell them about the horrors of what they've done, even when Caucasians told them about the horrors of what they've done, they don't want to hear it because they have Caucasian fragility. They are fragile. They want to believe that what they did was for a benefit of humanity, and that we as human beings have a common humanity with them as the dictatorial image in society. They want human beings to believe that they are the model, that they are the way, and that everybody else is primitive and everybody else is non-modern. Everybody else is, you know, should be subjugated. It is very tough for us as Africans, because we've come under that so heavily, to think outside of the imposed boundaries that they've placed us in. They have that vice grip on our minds. They have a vice grip on our minds, and we behave and act in a way that is detrimental to us. And the only thing
you have remote control.
Yeah.
The Negroes are in remote control, bro. Don't never let nobody fool you and tell you otherwise. Unfortunately, the Negro is on remote control, and he's going to be on remote control until he wean himself off of this devil. And can he wean himself off of the devil? Yes. But is he going to wean himself off of the devil? No. It's a hard process. Weaning yourself off of the kit.
Yeah.
A baby can't just get off the kit. He got to wean himself off.
Right. And the person with the tits got to give him off, you know? You can't be trying to see. But see, that's the problem.
You think the white man going to give up the subservient Negro?
No. But see, the problem is this.
Going to give up his place?
The problem is this, Jay, is that we must say either you're going to be with us or you're not. There has to come a time. That's what I'm saying. We make a distinction. Either you're going to be African or you're not. If you're not, then you go over there. You be with them. You do that. Because this is the move that we're going to take. We're going to be African. We're going to link up with other brothers and sisters who want to be African. We're going to go to the motherland, and we stated to them unequivocally, you going to be African? Then let's work together. If you ain't, take your ass to Europe. Take your ass to Central and South America. Take your ass to the Caribbean. Because there is no place on the planet that we can stake a claim and not suffer and deal with these Caucasians if we want to, and that is on the continent. We can eradicate the Chinese, the Europeans, the Indians, and every damn body else. We could say we're going to have a 10 to 20-year growing process, everybody out. We'll evaluate whatever contracts were written by these despots and so forth, but everybody out, so we can do the business for African people. That's what it's going to have to come down to. We can't stay in Europe.
I hope it happens soon.
Right. I do too. Because we can't, because the longer we stay in it, the deeper it becomes and the worse it gets for us as a people. Because, see, individualism is something that is promoted by Europeans. And because we go in with that, we think things individually. And we think what is best for me. What is best for me and mine. And to hell with you and yours. You know, I'm thinking how I can get over it.
You bet. Your time is coming
my
to
time.
The end.
It is, brother.
And
thank you.
Man, we will speak on Wednesday.
All right, Hotep. Brother. Hotep, Jay. Thank you. Peace, my brother. We end this program, like in all of our programs, with the words of Stephen Biko. The most potent weapon in the hands of the oppressor is the minds of the oppressed. This program is dedicated and committed to helping to free the African mind. But not just the M-I-N-D, but the M-I-N-E, because under the feet of African people lies all of the resources that everybody wants, think they can't do it out, and sure in hell don't want to pay for. Brothers and sisters, it's always an honor and a pleasure. Shem Hotep means go in peace. Esante Sana means thank you. Bivahodia. Bivahodia means our victorious destiny. Brothers and sisters, we will be victorious. Have a blessed and wonderful day. Peace, family.